to read a passage of scripture in the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of the Christ. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial, which is to come upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. And then chapter 22 of the same book, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 20. He that testifies these things says, yea, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we were together this morning, we sang that hymn. It said, Lord Jesus, come, the man of sorrows once, the man of patience waiting now, the man of joy forever thou. Come, Saviour, come. It's a wonderful blessing to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. It's a wonderful blessing that God has reached out to us through the person of the Lord Jesus, that you and I might be cleansed, might be set free from our burden of sins, and might be made fit for God's presence. That we can feel, could feel at home there, and that we can say with desire in our hearts, Lord Jesus, come. If we were still in our sins, we could never say that. And I trust everyone here knows the blessing of being able to say, come, Saviour, come. Where I read in 2 Thessalonians, says, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. The preacher, or the one who speaks or testifies, can do nothing for himself. We need God to work. It's only God himself that can affect your heart and bring you to Jesus. And if he's done that, I rejoice in it. And I trust you rejoice in it. Because there's no greater blessing available to men, women or children today than to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God has done that in your heart, it's a very wonderful thing, because no one can take it away. No one can undo it. We had no claim upon God. We had no right to anything. The Bible tells us that we're sinners and we failed. And we're unfit for God's presence and only worthy of judgment. But God in his mercy has reached out to his creature and has made that wonderful provision that our greatest need might be addressed. The need to be reconciled to God. And the only way we could be reconciled to God is if our sins were dealt with. And what more could we want than that our heart should be directed into the love of God? If we look around us in the world, there's much sin, sorrow, suffering, distress. We don't need to be reminded of it. But God has something much better in mind for his creature. And in all his ways, in all his plans, his purpose has been to bring man to himself. Restore us to that place that he intended us to have. And to know him as the Saviour God. And how was he to bring it about? Surely it's a wonderful message, the gospel message. About how Jesus came down from the glory above. How he came amongst men, laid as a babe in the manger, all the wonderful things that he did. But I was impressed with the patience of Christ. And I wanted really to speak something just about that. The Lord Jesus is a perfect expression of God himself. And in patience, the Lord Jesus showed to us when he was here. He's been very patient with me. The Lord Jesus has been very patient with man. Think of how many times I sat under a gospel preaching. Never really answered to the call of the gospel. I heard the words, but it didn't really have an entrance into my heart. How many times have people seen texts on the wall? Has it made a difference to them? Wonderful message of hope. How many times have people read tracts or bits of the Bible giving that wonderful message of hope and it's made no difference to us? The Lord Jesus, patient. He's been very patient with me, and in the due time, he entered my heart. He became my Saviour. Even when the Lord was angered, it says, by the hardness of their hearts. What did he do? Did he turn his back on mankind? No, it says he said to the man, reach out your hand, and it was healed. That's the bowels of compassion. The Lord Jesus, not willing that any should suffer, not willing that any should go into judgment, and that's why he went the way of the cross. No other way that you and I could have our sins forgiven, but Jesus should go to the cross. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more, he said to one. Think of that woman at the well and, coming to the well in Sychar, where the Lord Jesus was sitting there. Did he condemn her? No, in patient grace, he opened up to her, showed her what she was really like, and showed her who was able to help her. I who speak to thee, MP. Wonderful words of grace when you realise that Jesus is speaking to you, not just to the audience, but to you. The Lord Jesus is speaking to you. In patient grace, as the hymn says, he waits to bless, even though it was going to cost him his life. It says no one took his life from him, he laid it down of himself. He allowed men to take him, falsely accuse him, mock him and beat him, put a crown of thorns, we were reminded of last week in this room. That's what men did. They put a crown of thorns on the head of the Lord Jesus. Despite he'd done nothing wrong, despite heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I have found my delight. Despite men and women saying, behold, he does all things well. Despite Peter falling at his feet and saying, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus allowed men to take him and to crucify him, nail him to a cross. And why did he do that? It was that you and I might be blessed, brought to know the blessings that God has in mind for us. There was no other way that you and I could be cleansed from our sins other than the Lord Jesus was to lay down his life. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And the Lord Jesus laid down his life willingly, in obedience to the Father's will, that he might take that penalty and that judgment for your sins and my sins upon himself, that we might go free. Nothing else could atone for our sins. No other sacrifice would have been sufficient but for the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle says, John says, blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. But Jesus is waiting even now. The glad tidings are still going out that there might be more souls brought to know him as Saviour. There might be that company of the redeemed to praise and worship God throughout eternity. What wonderful patience the Lord showed. Even at the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Extraordinary thing. God himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, should go to the cross to bear that judgment for sin. In those hours of darkness, when God poured out his wrath upon the head of Jesus as a sin bearer, he bore it in patient grace. The Lord had no need to go that way. He'd done nothing wrong, and yet he bore that judgment and exhausted it. It is finished. That's the wonderful message of the glad tidings. It's finished. There's nothing to be added to it. Men like to think that they can add something to it, or they can achieve something themselves. But the message is there's nothing to be added to it. Nothing further needs to be done apart from you to accept Jesus as your Saviour. God who can point us to Jesus as the one in whom is his delight, the one who has made atonement for sin, the one who can save us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. It's only through coming to Jesus that we can know the blessing and joy of peace with God, patience of the Christ. Very close to endurance, I think, endured to the end, suffered the just for the unjust. And even when Thomas was doubting, the Lord was laid in the grave, and then he came out triumphant 3 days later. The stone was rolled away to reveal an empty tomb. And he appeared to some of the disciples, to Mary and others, showed that he was no longer in the grave, that he had defeated everything that stood against us. He'd made that wonderful atonement for sin. And he revealed himself to some of the disciples, and yet some of them doubted. Two on the way to Emmaus, They rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the good news, and some of them doubted. And Thomas, when he wasn't there, he said he wouldn't unless he saw the marks in his hands and in his side. And the Lord was so patient that the following week he came back again to show himself to the 12. And when Thomas was there, and what does Thomas say? When he said to him, "Bring thy finger here and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And the word tonight, to simply trust Jesus, to trust the word of God, and to accept that in laying down his life on the cross, the Lord made provision that you and I might have our sins forgiven. And in that other reference I referred to in Revelation, there's a wonderful blessing available to those who keep the word of the Lord's patience. This afternoon we've said what difference it should make to those that know and love the Lord Jesus as Saviour. How our walk should be in keeping with it, because we belong to him and he's in the glory, and he's going to come again to take those who know and love him to be forever with him. That we're going to be found faithful, waiting patiently for the Lord to come. Yes, we want to hasten that day, but surely we want what's pleasing to him. And he is waiting the Father's word. He's been waiting many years, and yet he waits patiently that there might be yet more brought in. Not only that everyone here should be blessed, but many others throughout the world. And so the outgoing of the glad tidings is going out today, and indeed every day. Many ways in which witness is borne to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's waiting patiently that everyone that is to be saved should be brought in. Everyone that's written in the book of life might be brought to know and trust the Lord Jesus. And if we've been saved already, then are we waiting patiently? Do we show the same features that the Lord Jesus shows? Love for all. Desiring the death of a sinner. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of how the Lord has waited. He waited for me. He's waiting for someone else. Perhaps he's waiting for someone in this room. But he waits in grace that we might have that blessing, that we might have the assurance that our sins are forgiven and peace with God. Not as the world gives, the Lord said. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He wants us to be restful. He wants us to wait in patience, not to forget him, but to be faithful to him, to do what's pleasing to him, to be concerned what he would have us to do, to seek our direction from him, because he has this wonderful promise: if thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial, which is to come upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. The day of grace will not always remain open, but it is open today, and the opportunity is still here, for there is a judgment to come. The Lord Jesus explained that things would not go on always, just as in the days of Noah. Men just carried on as they thought fit, leaving God out of their thoughts. Noah, he went into the ark. He was concerned for himself and his family, that they might be blessed, that they might be preserved when that judgment comes. And if you want to be preserved, and I want to be preserved, we need to come to Jesus, to trust on him, to rest upon him, to be sheltering under him. He alone can save us. And just as Noah built the ark, and then one day it says that God told them to go in, and God shut the door. And God one day will shut the door, and the gospel won't go out like this in the future, and it'll be too late. What an awful thing to realise it's too late. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of blessing. And the Lord says, if you're knowing and trusting me, hold fast. Don't let anyone undermine your faith in me. He remains the same. He's faithful and true. Hold fast what thou hast, that no one take thy crown. We had about the crown last week. The crown that the Lord has given, the crown that's available to be given to us, and no one take thy crown. And then just those words at the end of the book, the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say come, and let him that hears say come. Does every heart hear say come to the Lord Jesus? Is that the bent and intent of our hearts? The cross did away with the old man, all that was sin and all that is abhorrent to God. The Lord wants us to be living in newness of life, waiting for him, and with that word come on our lips. He longs for that day when he will come to take us to be with himself. Are you longing, dear friends, for that point? That wonderful moment when we shall see him face to face. The Spirit is here to bear witness to all those that know and love the Lord Jesus, that they belong to him, and that he has not forgotten them, and he will never forget them, and they always have a place in his heart, and he has a longing that where he is, we also may be, that we might behold his glory. Wonderful moment, far beyond anything we can take in, but we have his promises and his words, which are true and faithful. They don't change. They will never let us down. And he's going to come again. He's true to his promises. I will not leave you orphans. I am coming to you. We might get moments of doubt, but the Spirit bears witness that the Lord Jesus is true. And may everyone here assent to that and be joined with the Spirit and say, come. Yea, I come quickly. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. Sometimes we think things are slow or taking a long time, but with God, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. He doesn't reckon time like us, it's there to help us, but he's coming soon. The apostles, the disciples, they were in daily expecting the Lord Jesus to come again. He's not delaying because he's forgotten us. He's delaying because he wants that last one to be brought in, that the whole fully redeemed might be with him throughout eternity. Behold, I come quickly. May every one of us be looking for that moment and remain true to him until he comes.